Welcome back, Back Talks with VJCV. Today we have got a guitarist, a rock fan, someone who loves Muay Thai. From being a competitive weightlifter and a software engineer, now she's a founder of a sports tech company which has been accumulating awards in the last 5-6 months period. Welcome, Emma Meehan, the founder of Precision Sports Technology. Let's hear from Emma.
Thank you, VJ, for having me on. It's great to be here and great to chat.
So before I let the audience listen about Precision Sports Technology and what you are doing there, if you can tell us about who you are, because when I read about you, the pieces I picked up from a few of the blogs that you have written when you were an intern in Cisco, wherein I could figure out that you love your music, you love Muay Thai. From there and your internship in Cisco and the software engineering part, if you can just touch upon that before we get into Precision and what you're doing currently.
Yeah, great. So, I mean, my main kind of background professionally has been technology. So I was always really, really interested in tech. I think one of my favorite Christmas presents as a child was just a small laptop I got, even though it couldn't do anything. It was just the idea was just thrilling to me. So I started learning to code at age 12, which is also the same time that I started working. My father owns a retail business. He's bar shop. So, you know, from a young age, I was kind of immersed in the business environment, talking to people, selling, not selling technology, but selling breakfast rolls and things like that. So I kind of learned that hardworking mindset from that age. And then I enrolled in university for computer science and information technology in 2014. So at that stage, like, I knew I loved tech, and it was only at that time then I actually started getting into fitness. So as a child and as a teenager, I was actually extremely unathletic and unfit. Through school, we were only ever taught about soccer, basketball, Gaelic sports. Like, I'm naturally a very, very poor runner, very uncoordinated. And I thought, oh, sports is never going to be the thing for me. But only then when I started university, I figured out, like, okay, I love weightlifting and I love Muay Thai because I'm not trying to get on the team. All I have to do is trying to improve from myself the day before. And I just got hooked, really, really involved in the numbers. And then when I was coming towards the end of my university degree, after I'd done my internship in Cisco, I was thinking about the problems that I was facing myself in the gym. So throughout this time, I had gotten a personal trainer qualification. I had spent probably hundreds of hours researching about weightlifting, learning about it even outside of the gym. So when I was looking at myself in the mirror and seeing my technique going wrong, I knew how to fix it. But I know that most people don't. They either pay a lot of money for a coach, they lose confidence and stop working out, whether that's in the gym or doing physiotherapy, or they actually push themselves too hard and end up injuring themselves. So I thought, well, technology can drive cars now. Surely it can help us with our technique when exercising. So that's where the original idea came from. And I built the very first prototype using the Xbox Kinect. A game like I loved playing with it, and I realized that if you plug it into your PC, you can get the SDK up for basic skeleton tracking. So I built this for my final year project, and as part of my thesis, my professors, you know, made a remark to me saying, look, you've proposed some business cases for this. You know, why don't you build a startup out of this? And I said, well, I'd really love to, but I got a contract offer with Cisco before my internship finished. So I would like to work there for a while, build up some experience in a big technology company, save some money and to live life a little, because, you know, throughout university, I was working very hard, studying all the time, working in spare on the weekends. So I thought, look, I know I'm going to be working 10 times as hard in a startup, so I would like to save some money and maybe take a holiday or two. So that was 2018, and I was working with Cisco 3 years then, full time after university. Working on DevOps, cloud backend, like large scale microservices, and really building up my knowledge there in terms of scalability, security, et cetera. So it was at the end of 2021 then that I handed in my notice and went full time on the startup. And yeah, it's been crazy since, but really, really enjoying it.
Amazing. Amazing, Emma, to understand in terms of from selling breakfast rolls to being a founder of a startup, helping people to work out before they get their breakfast done. So it's amazing. Yeah. And when I read through the Precision Sports, I understand that it's a 2-year-old brand. And there are, if you look at the ecosystem, the startup ecosystem in Ireland, especially in different pockets like Cork, Dublin, Galway, etc., you got a lot of small units working from there and supporting each other. And PotterShed is one of that, which is doing really good work in Galway. So have you actually got support from these ecosystems during your early days and currently as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I did an accelerator program in Austria last year in Central Europe, and I was speaking to founders across Central and Eastern Europe, like from Poland, Austria, Slovenia. And, you know, I really came to realize that Ireland is definitely the best place in Europe, if not one of the best places in the world, to actually start a tech company. Because not only do you have Enterprise Ireland, which provides funding, supports and mentorship, and the program, which initially I was able to leave my job and start on the startup full time, but you also have the NDRC, which has early stage supports and all the local hubs as well. So in Galway, I would use the ATU Innovation Hub and the PotterShed because they both have fantastic services and different strengths. So, for example, with the ATU Innovation Hub, I have like a private office here where all my team can come in. We can, you know, have the door closed, be, you know, hacking, figuring out problems without disrupting a co-working space. Whereas the PotterShed, then it's open co-working. So you get to meet really interesting people at the coffee dock. They have really strong connections with like large media institutions, investors, etc. So, you know, I try to split my time between the two of them. But to have all this like rich ecosystem in Ireland for such a small country is really incredible.
Why the name Precision? And when did you decide that, okay, this is the name that I want for my startup?
I mean, yeah, naming is always a really funny thing. I mean, I was tossing around names. I was, you know, just putting down like a word cloud on what we're trying to build. You know, we're trying to be real-time, quick, mobile. But, you know, I've done a lot of research, a lot of work on open source algorithms, things like this. And, you know, there's Google OpenPose, Meta have their own pose estimation software, but the accuracy isn't there. They're okay for like fitness apps for the day-to-day consumer for, okay, you did 10 jumping jacks. Well done. But our target customer is professional sports teams, strength conditioning coaches and physiotherapists. And any technology they use, they vet it to see how accurate is it? Is it reliable in comparison to old school lab systems? So we need to like deliver a product that's extremely accurate and fast. That's what we've built. And we thought, okay, yeah, Precision is definitely going to be a good part of our brand. And we went with Precision Sports Technology for, you know, the simple reason in that it's reasonably easy to spell. If you're looking at a list of like 100 startups, you know, in Ireland or in Europe, you know, a lot of them are, you know, made up words. They might be hard to remember. Whereas ours, if you see it on the list, you'll probably remember it and you'll know, okay, they're in sports tech. If you know you're interested in that field, you might click on it. So I think it helps to stand out. Now, it is a really, really long name. It's not great for the product, but we launched our product just in the last 2 weeks. And the name for the product is Kinetic IQ, which is a much easier to pronounce and to spell on an app icon.
It's great. If you look at your journey from being a software engineer to a startup founder, you are trying to bring in the brand ethos into that in terms of easy recall of your brand name and things like that. You mentioned that you first launched product, your first Kinetic IQ.
I mean, so like kinematics is essentially the science of analyzing movement. So, you know, that's where the Kinect, you know, originally came from. There's so many other companies that have played off, you know, the kinematics Kinect, but, you know, we've gone with Kinetic is, you know, a breakdown of that. And then IQ just for that level of intelligence, because we're not just providing raw data information. We're actually giving the insights to the practitioner and to the athletes so they can know, you know, how well they're moving, if they are disimproving, if there's anything that they need to intervene with. So yeah, I think the, you know, even that, it makes sense to like a sports scientist. They know we're in this area of movement analysis.
Awesome. So now, Emma, can you actually go in depth and explain in terms of what exactly Precision or the first product, Kinetic IQ, does actually?
Yeah, so we're releasing our product in three key versions. So our main aim, our North Star, is for real-time exercise feedback and analysis. So everyone who is doing physiotherapy at home or training in the gym, that they can get live, completely individualized feedback on their movement pattern so they can stop injury risk and then maximize their results, whether that's getting fit, getting strong, or reducing their pain from an injury or something like this. So we're building up the machine learning algorithm around this, and we have very small teams. So we know, okay, to get to this stage, there's a lot of product that needs to be built behind that. So version one, which is the version that we released just 2 weeks ago into the App Store, is for objective movement analysis. So this product is very specifically for professional strength conditioning coaches and physiotherapists. So what this product does is they just hit record on the app, and they stop, and immediately they get key results on their athlete's movement patterns. So the information they get back is things like range of motion for the exercise, the speed, the stability of the joints, any asymmetries between the joints. So they have the kind of background knowledge to know, okay, if I see this asymmetry between the right and the left side, how should I improve on this? And is it something that I actually need to improve on? Because everybody's body is completely different. There's no such thing as a perfect exercise technique. So we're building out that repository to then give that individualized real-time feedback later on. So we have this product now for professional coaches. And then the next phase then, before the real-time feedback, is for remote monitoring. So if you are going through a physiotherapy program, your physiotherapist can say, okay, here's your program. If you use the app while you're doing your program, I can know, are you doing your exercises? Are you doing them correctly? And is there anything that I need to intervene on? So, you know, they may not have to go to the physiotherapist's office as often and get better results. So there's a bit of a product roadmap in there, but the version we have now is getting really, really good traction with these professional sports teams.
Great. And if you can explain in terms of what is the exact the technology that you're using to capture the real-time monitoring, if you can touch upon that.
Yeah, so we're using the new iPhone and iPad Pro models. So the iPhone 15 Pro is the version that's out now. But from the 12 Pro and up, they come shipped with a LiDAR depth sensor. So essentially, it's sending out a laser scan of the room so we can get a 3D scan of the space. So we're using the combination of this 3D data and the computer vision data to give really accurate, super fast body tracking on the device. So that's the reason we can do real time on the device, because we're getting this really, really good data set. Because, you know, there are some other solutions out there, you know, like the Google OpenPose that can run on any phone, but you have to record, upload it to the cloud. It does some processing there, but it's not great if you take into account different lighting situations, different clothing. Whereas because we're using the 3D scanner, it gives us really, really strong capabilities. And the fact that these iPhone, iPad Pro models have really, really good GPUs as well, because we need to run it at a very high sampling rate in order to give the amount of information. So like if you think about a jump, it might just take 1 second. You know, we need to be able to record, you know, at least 50, 60 frames per second. So like I'm an Android user myself. I don't actually use iPhone or iPad, but you know, I have a very cheap Android phone. I know if I recorded a video, it just wouldn't have that level of sample data to provide good insights. So these professional sports coaches, they often just have these kinds of iPads. You know, at the moment they're paying for other hardware to measure movement. So we're saying, look, if you have one of these iPhone or iPad Pros, you can run our software on it really, really well, but you can also use it for Netflix or whatever you like.
Great. And is there any restriction in terms of if a person is moving around and doing his work, workout? Is there a restriction in terms of capturing that? Do you have a distance or a space that needs to be restrained in terms of capturing the movement?
I mean, yeah, the only really restraint is that it has to be within 5 meters, just because we get diminishing returns. So we've tested this with university to see how accurate is it. And our best level of accuracy is within 5 meters. So, you know, you would get some data beyond that distance, but, you know, we can't, you know, put our hand on our heart and say this is going to be accurate and reliable. But we believe this can improve over time with, you know, improving the algorithm and the hardware improving as well.
Great. And how many users you have currently, Emma, on this?
So, I mean, we just launched 2 weeks ago. We've been doing a lot of testing in-house, but we have rolled it out now with teams, physiotherapists, personal trainers across Ireland, Portugal, the US, the UK. So, you know, we're starting off now, but it's growing and growing week by week. So it's hard to keep track.
Awesome. And if somebody wants to reach out to you and understand more about this and for a team or something like that, how do you do that?
Yeah, so like I'm very open to LinkedIn. I love using LinkedIn. So if anyone wants to reach out to me, whether that's, you know, as a potential user, or if you're interested in, you know, learning more about our team or investment as well, you can add me on LinkedIn, Emma Meehan.
Great. And tell us what are the plans for the next 6 to 8 months time frame? What are you looking at in terms of taking Precision to the next domain or in terms of next launch?
Yeah, so there are kind of three key milestones that we're targeting. So first one is closing our pre-seed fundraising round. That's about 80% closed now. So we're going through the legal documents on that. And so people only have like 4 to 6 weeks now to, you know, get their foot in before the door is closed. And then we'll open our seed round then, you know, at the end of this year or next year, once, you know, we've gotten good sales, etc. So, you know, the opportunity is better now for a higher equity. Second then is sales. So we made our first sale, but of course, you know, the first sales are just small. We need to like make sure we can scale this, get that, you know, operation really running. And then lastly then is on the product releases. So the version 2 for remote monitoring, that's something that we're developing along with really, really exciting new features such as org level management as well. So fundraising, product, sales, it's all happening here.
Awesome. It's a startup world wherein you have to keep running across different lines. And I understand that you will have your own, what you call, the NDAs regarding the investments and other things. But can you just name the few any major player that you have on board as your investor?
Yeah, so we have some, firstly, Enterprise Ireland has been hugely supportive of us. We've gotten, you know, a lot of their funding opportunities all through our pathway. Firstly, the New Frontiers program, where they had a stipend that like very, very early stage entrepreneurs can leave their job and then support themselves while they're building their startup. Then we got the Competitive Start Fund, the Pre-Seed Start Fund, and they're also going to be investing in our pre-seed round now. And we also have two major international investors. We have the Austrian bank, Raiffeisen Landesbank, that sponsored the accelerator program, along with the Slovenian VC called RUJ that were associated with that accelerator as well. So we have them on board a lot, and along with many really, really exciting Irish and UK angel investors.
Great. It's great to see that early stage startup, because you're still 2 years old and your product has been launched a couple of weeks back. So I would call you still an early stage startup, and there are a lot of people actually come ahead and support and invest in your pre-seed. And I understand that you have in the States last week. You were traveling along with the Awakening Hub. So tell us about that. They have been very forthcoming in terms of supporting the woman in the startup space and the entrepreneurial journey. And Mary McKenna and other people have been doing a really wonderful job. So how was the trip to the States, and how was the journey with them? Yeah,
it was really excellent, because, you know, they put forward a really shocking statistic in that only 2% of companies that venture capital institutions fund have a female on the founding team, which is crazy considering it's definitely a lot more than 2% of startups have a female on the founding team. So they're really trying to break down the barriers, because, you know, there are some issues that take place, like, you know, unconscious bias, women not, you know, having as much confidence sometimes as men to put themselves out there, and, you know, network power as well, because sometimes, you know, there can be kind of a boys club in these, you know, wealthy areas like New York and Silicon Valley. So they were trying to break down the barriers, and they essentially organized this whole trip end to end, where they said, look, these are the dates for Boston, these are the dates for New York City. You're going to be meeting the consulate for Great Britain in Boston on this day, the Irish consulate in New York on this day. We have our investing masterclass on this day, and set up specific pitches with us as well. So I had the opportunity to pitch in Boston and New York, and it was amazing, because it was only a 60-second pitch. I had never done a 60-second pitch before then. Like, I'd previously done 10-minute pitches, 8-minute pitches, I had to do a 2.5 minute pitch for Web Summit, which is actually on YouTube. I can send that to you if you want to embed it in the article or the video as well. So even getting it down to 2.5 minutes was really difficult, but 60 seconds, no slides. You have to like be on the ball with every single word. And so they gave us training around that, training as well on how to network properly, because generally I would be quite an introverted person. I don't really thrive at networking events. I really have to, you know, figure out how I'm going to like make my way into a conversation, how to introduce myself, you know, how to state, you know, why I'm here. Am I looking for investment or partners, etc. So, you know, they gave us training on how to make the most of networking events as well, which was really, really important for me as an introvert. But yeah, I think the fruits from this are just starting now. We've all these follow-ups to jump on. And so, yeah, it was really, really excellent trip.
Great to track the growth of Awaken Hubs along with the women startups, which are actually growing in Ireland. So it's amazing to see that. Going back to the startup ecosystem in Ireland, because you emphasized on that and support and everything, tell us something specific to Galway in terms of, I understand that you are also a part of a lot of tech meetups happening in Galway. How does that go about, and talent that you have in Galway? And along with that, if you can mention about the team that you have currently working in Precision.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really interesting in that Galway is such a small city. I think the population is around 100,000. But I think the universities have about, you know, when the university season is on, there's about 13 or 15 or more thousand students between the two universities. And then in the major biotech companies like Boston Scientific and Medtronic, they've like 15 or 20,000 employees. So if you think about the city and how many people are in biotechnology and, you know, university ecosystem, it's really, really amazing. And we have some really strong tech companies here in Galway. Like there's Cisco I worked with for a few years, there's Fidelity, there's Genesis. So you have a really, really good ecosystem here with tech meetups that happen, etc. So on our team, we have 8 people full time. There's myself taking the role as a founder, CEO and CTO. We have Sean McVeigh, who's based in Donegal. He's our chief commercial officer and lead sports scientist. We have Padraig Dennison, who's here in Galway as well. He's our chief operating officer. And then we have 5 developers on the team that are all in-house. Only one of those is actually based in Galway. His name is Jack. He's on his internship from the same computer science course that I did back in the day. And then our other developers are all actually based in Dublin. So we do one day in Galway every month and one day in Dublin every month. So, you know, there's no, you know, obligation for them to travel down to Galway to the office all the time. You know, with technology, it's so easy to do all your work, you know, wherever you are. It's just great to get the team together for 1 or 2 days a month to kind of, you know, get the creative juices flowing. If we have any particular design reviews we need to do, we'll have the whiteboard up, you know, we'll be getting ideas back and forth, which is okay on Zoom, but it's not the same as in person. But like Ireland is such a small country, even though it's a city the other side of the country, like the train is 2.5 hours. I mean, it's nothing compared to like, you know, the US or India or anywhere like that.
Yeah, that's true. And you mentioned that you are you're working closely with a few of the sports teams in Ireland as well as outside Ireland. Is there any names that you can take in terms of or which specific sporting platform that are they into? It's like, is it Gaelic football or soccer, or are they into anything else, gymnastics and stuff like that?
Oh, I mean, it's really across sports, because every sport does strength conditioning and physiotherapy. So whether it's soccer, rugby, hockey, American football, these are all teams that we are working with actively on our platform. Now, they all have slightly different, you know, niches, let's say, whereas for soccer, they care a lot about ankle and knee mobility. Whereas, you know, for a sport like rugby, there's a lot of upper body work. You know, they want to see like neck strength and rotation as well. Like our platform can support all that, but we're now working with teams that are competing in the Premier League, the NFL, the NBA, some really, really high profile names, which unfortunately I can't share on the podcast today. But trying to understand their processes is really, really interesting, because you think some of these teams have all the resources, all the tech in the world, but sometimes all the tech they're using is really, really outdated. So it's super exciting for us to go in to them, show them that we just, like, often we don't have to go into their facility. We just, like, we can do a demo on Zoom. They can download the app and be like, oh my God, wow, this is amazing. I don't need to, you know, get any kind of a strap or wearable to put on. So yeah, we're just kind of getting the product really nailed down and solid with them. And then we'll grow from there.
Great, Emma. Since you mentioned Premier League, and I can understand that, like, you cannot take names. So are you also in closely working with any of the teams in the League of Ireland, or not yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been working with one team in the League of Ireland anyways. But, you know, understandably, the budgets are very different in League of Ireland versus the Premier League. I mean, yeah, some of the teams we've spoken to, they might have like one sports scientist, but they're dealing with 60 players. Like, while our technology can make them more efficient, it's harder for them to get the time to even, like, you know, see it, you know, to get use of it. And also, you know, they might have no budget for technology at all. So, you know, we're going to really nail down the usefulness and, you know, elite cost the product with the high level teams. But once we kind of nail down that use case, we want to democratize it and make sure that it's simple enough and effective enough so that even your local GA club can use it and get great use out of it.
Oh, I hope that happens really fast, because it's an amazing technology, and I think more people can be happy using this. I also want to talk about the awards that you have accumulated in the last 6 to 8 months. Or I think you have started accumulating awards even before that. You have been the I think you have picked up the silver in the Emerging Tech Startup at the National Startup Awards. You are 30 under 30 in the Sports for Business, there are quite a number of startup awards which I can see when I see online. So how is that feeling in terms of when you get nominated and you get shortlisted and then you are getting something like this, and when you look back through the journey, though it's a long way to go, but what is the zeal that that the awards give you?
I mean, it's certainly a moment of pride. I mean, the two from the end of last year that were really great were the ITAG Emerging Tech Startup of the Year, and we were a finalist in the Irish Times Innovation Awards as well for the first time founders category. So, you know, it's great to get the recognition, but at the same time as well, you know, I don't know, can I be a bit harsh on myself or others that win awards, but it's not necessarily progress for your startup. Progress is sales and product ships to market. So, you know, it's something that startup founders need to be conscious of, that you can't just spend, you know, a lot of your time applying for different awards. Yes, like, pick some that you think would be useful, you know, get the application in, but don't spend weeks kind of iterating over it. You need to be spending weeks talking to your customers, building your product, doing your business plan, because investors need to see this as well. So, you know, it's nice for the LinkedIn bio and on the business plan to maybe, you know, attract the investors, you know, let's say, but awards doesn't necessarily translate to customers and in the end, which would be startup success.
You have put it very aptly, Emma, in terms of, yes, award does give you a kick, but that doesn't give you the leeway of having a clear runway to take off. So you have to do your own running around to get it done. So amazing. So just going back from where I started off with your intro, so are you still playing music, or you're moving around attending concerts, or do you get time for that?
Oh, well, I mean, like, unfortunately, I'm not playing music as much. I might only get my hands on my guitar maybe once or twice a month, like on the weekend, just, you know, play out a few songs. But I mean, concerts are probably one of the few places where I feel like I can just be absolutely free and not worry about work, even if it's just for an hour or two. Like, rock music and heavy metal is a huge passion of mine. Like, this might sound crazy, I love going into mosh pits and getting sweaty and dancing. It's just very, very freeing. So I have a concert coming up at the end of next month called Enter Shikari. They're a British band. They're very political, very charged. I think this would be my fifth or sixth time seeing them, but they're probably my favorite. So I'm really, really excited for that.
Awesome. And I can see that it's like, after the pandemic, Ireland has been buzzing with a lot of concerts. I think AC/DC has announced that they're coming in August, and it's really buzzing here now.
Yeah, no, it's a great place. Thank you, BJ, for having me on. It's great.